Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, and thanks for joining us. Today we have Tony's Vero Beach Vacation Recap, Mickey's Not So Scary News, our Disney Parks Podcast Monorail Crawl Recap, Changes at Epcot's World Showcase, and Frozen Fun at Tokyo Disney. So much more today. Let's get it started. Tony, did you want to talk about your trip to Vero Beach? I've never been, so I'd love to hear all about it and hear what you did and stuff like that.
Sure. Hey, Vero Beach is a DVC, a Disney DVC. Disney Vacation Club, if you don't know what DVC is. It is not that far from Walt Disney World. It's about an hour and a half, obviously, east towards the beach, not towards the other beach. And it is great. It sits right on their own private beach. You have to have, obviously, a DVC thing to get on the beach. They have a beach. They have a pool. They have villas, grand villas. The grand villas are these little bungalows that sit along the water. And those are typically what we use to vacation. Plus some rooms, what they call at the inn, which are basically deluxe studios. Those are, let's see, one, two. The grand villas are three bedroom, three bath. They have two porches, one that faces the ocean, one that faces, I'm going to say, the pool if you're close to the pool, otherwise the kind of interior of the vacation club. And there's lots of different activities and things to do there. They rent bikes, and they have a mini golf, and they have a little kids' water area. You can rent some stuff on the beach. I believe you can rent the jet ski. There are things to do in town. I know our group goes kayaking down the Indian River. I believe it's the Indian River. There in Vero. And there's only three places to eat there. There's, I can't remember the name of the first, the main restaurant. There's a main restaurant that's open for breakfast and then for dinner. And then there's a fancy place that's only open a couple nights a week. I think like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then the place called Shutters, which is by the pool, which is now open for breakfast, lunch, and I think until 8 p.m. So I guess you could even get dinner at the pool as well. And they've kind of upped the menu by the pool. It was always kind of like burgers and hot dogs and salads, and now they have like crab cake sandwiches and lobster rolls and pizzas and things like that. So they've kind of, you know, changed up the menu there. They've even changed up the menu at the restaurant inside, and I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. But that's also a nice place to eat. There's also a lot, if you're into seafood, there are lots of great restaurants along, obviously, Vero Beach, the waterway. And you can get fresh seafood. A place that we typically go to is called Squid Lips. It's right on the water. And you can just kind of dine outside, and they have a pretty good menu of, you know, almost everything seafood. What I kind of tell people to do now is kind of split their vacation. You know, fly into Orlando, get your Disney hardcore, you know, rope drop to fireworks thing closing the parks down. Get all that out of the way, and then move your vacation to Disney's Vero Beach, where you can sit by the beach, you can relax, you can unwind, you can rest, rejuvenate, recharge your batteries so that you can, unfortunately, go back to work with, you know, recharged batteries. So that's kind of the best of both worlds. And I think most people do it that way. Some people may go to Vero and then over to Disney World. That wouldn't be my preference. I would like to kind of, you know, hit the parks hard and then just go over to the beach and relax. And it really is a nice place to unwind and relax. Listen, they have Disney Wi-Fi. It's not so great by the pool. So if you are by the pool, you know, you really can't get the Wi-Fi, which is good because then you're actually able to relax and unwind. And obviously, you're not going to get Wi-Fi on the beach. You're going to have cell reception. So try it out. It's a really nice place. I kind of like it. We've been there 2 years now. And I think it's everybody should give it a whack once. You know, give it a try.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. Sounds like you got a nice relaxing break.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely something to go check out if you're a Disney fan. It sounds like it's, you know, secluded beach and the, you know, kind of special treatment and stuff. So that's awesome.
Yep, very much so.
So real quick, if we can just recap the second annual Monorail Crawl, Disney Parks Podcast Monorail Crawl. I think it was a huge success. We had a great turnout and just lots of fun. And everybody saying we need to do this more than once a year. So I don't know. We may need to look into that. It was pretty good, don't you think, Tony?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't know if we can tolerate 20 years. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, maybe we should think about it. I don't know when another good time to do this. You know, maybe during a half a marathon weekend, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. But if you're interested in checking out, Beatrice came and she wrote us a whole recap of her night and her thoughts on the whole thing. So if you want to check out the new blog over at DisneyParksPodcast.com, you can get up to date on that. Wonderful surprise ending is at the end of the night, Tim O'Day and Mindy Johnson both came over to the lounge at the Grand Floridian to kind of hang out with us and meet with us. Mindy, of course, is an author. She just released a new book all about Tinkerbell and her evolution. And Tim O'Day has a lot to do with the D23 expos. And I'm not really sure what all he does, but.
Disney historian as well.
Historian, yeah. So it was awesome just hanging out with them and getting to know them and stuff. So, and we gave away a ton of prizes. So. Yeah.
My prize closet is empty.
Yes, mine too. Well, actually, it's not because today we had a lot more stuff come in, but we'll save that for the next the next meetup. And then also, we wanted to let everybody know we've got the YouTube channel up and running. We added some new videos to that. So if you want to check it out, it's youtube.com/user/DisneyPK podcast. And the blog is also up and running. If you're interested in contributing, just email us at DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com. Of course, you can link to your own blog or your travel agent site. That's a perk of being a guest author for us. So lots of fun. You know, and hope we'll see you at the next meetup. It's actually a Google Hangout next time, right, Tony?
In September. Yes.
It's like a couple of weeks, but we'll put details in the show notes on that.
September 15th, we will be live on the internet.
Hooray! That should be exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you want to watch Misery and internet failure, come watch us September 15th. It's going to go down. It's going to go down like Donkey Kong.
And now, Disney Parks Podcast News.
Okay. If you are not familiar, here in Florida and in Disneyland, they have this thing called the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Now, if you have $60 to $70, depending on what day you go, maybe you can get a $10 discount if you're a DVC member or annual pass holder. They've now started this Villains Sinister Soiree. So if giving Disney $70 for this party wasn't enough, you can now give them an additional $99 and get this whole extra Villain Sinister Soiree package. Now, I am a fan of the party, but I don't know if I am now a fan of this additional VIP thing. I, you know, it would have been nice if some of this could have been done via a fast pass, because you can reserve for the wishes at night. You can reserve an area via Fast Pass or for the parades, but now they're asking you to cough up $99 and you will get preferred viewing for the 8:15 Mickey's Boo to You Halloween Parade. You'll get preferred viewing for the Halloween Hallowishes Fireworks Spectacular. And then you'll have a dessert party up in Cinderella's table. So that's what you get for this extra $99 that they're asking you to cough up. I like the idea. I don't think I'm getting enough for my $99. You know what I'm saying? What do you think, Chris? I mean, do you think the two private viewings and a cupcake thing at Cinderella's table is worth $99?
Yeah, I don't know. There's been a lot of pushback on social media. People are kind of like, you know, not excited about this, or, you know, thinking it's a lot of money and stuff like that. I think it just depends on, you know, how into the villains, how into Mickey's Not So Scary Party that you are. I mean, it just depends if it's a really big deal to you and if it's worth it. You do get the little take-homes, the little takeaways. You get an autograph card and a souvenir Maleficent cup. Okay. But I don't know. Yeah, it's not that... To me, I'm not going to do it personally, but I know other people are excited about it.
Okay. The autograph card is what? $1. And the cup you could probably get at any one of the, you know, drink places, probably for what? $12.99? So I really don't see the value in this yet. Disney really is going to have to hard sell this to me, because I just don't think the value is there. Listen, if you want a great dessert party, do the Wishes dessert party on the Tomorrowland Terrace. That is the best $35, I think it was $35 with an annual pass. That was the best $35 I spent to watch the fireworks in the Magic Kingdom. Okay, there was a whole huge table of desserts, plus some non-alcoholic drinks, and that was fantastic. I dig that. I would do that every day of the week before I would drop $99 for some, you know, Halloween-themed cupcakes, an autograph card, and a Maleficent dragon cup.
Yeah, the Wishes dessert parties are super popular, and they're hard to get into.
Very hard to get into.
Yeah.
It took us
I got to say, the Frozen package was great, though. I loved it. Like, it was worth every penny to me, but it's a lot. I think it's half the price of this one. So it'll be interesting, I guess, tonight. We're actually recording this on September 1st, so the reports will come back, you know, tonight and tomorrow about how people enjoyed this. So let's see what they say. Should be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. $160 to $170 with this VIP. I don't, you know. You have to let us know, because I'd really be interested if anybody's doing it. If you are doing it, please let us know. Because if you do it, we'd love to have you on the show to talk about it. And maybe we're underestimating. Maybe Disney's not doing a good job of selling it. Maybe they're not, you know, maybe there are some great benefits to it that they're not really telling us, you know, because they want people to be surprised. I don't know. So if you do it, give us a call, let us know, and we'll have you on the show and you can talk about it.
Absolutely. And you can just leave a message right on the computer. So it's easy. In other news, there's a new Starbucks location coming to Walt Disney World Resort. Guests visiting Disney's Hollywood Studios will be able to enjoy a new Starbucks location inside the park beginning in February of 2015, which will be here before we know it. The new store, which is called the Trolley Car Cafe, will be themed to a classic trolley car station along Hollywood Boulevard, and it's going to offer a unique experience for coffee lovers visiting the park. So there's always room for more Starbucks, I think, right? I'm excited about this.
Now, if they just bring us the red car trolley, that's what we need.
The red car, the actual trolley car.
Yeah, the actual trolley.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Don't name a damn store and then leave us hanging like that. I want the trolley.
Yeah.
All right, over at Epcot/Magic Kingdom, there's some more monorail changes. And beginning September 1st through September 26th, monorail services will run from 8:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. and midnight on special event nights. That's Halloween night, party nights probably. on the Magic Kingdom Resort Beam. And then 9:30 to 1 hour after Magic Kingdom fireworks on the Magic Kingdom Express Beam. And then 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. on the Epcot Beam. So some more monorail changes are there for you. Yeah. They're always changing. It's always, you know, it's always a guessing game. Even we were kind of stuck, you know, on a monorail crawl. You know, they were shutting down the monorail. We had to, like, hurry out to the monorail so we could get back to the, you know, the Contemporary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's, this has to do with the not-so-scary party and yeah. stuff like that. So, yeah. Monorail adjustments. Good to know. Now, don't forget, too, for your Disney-inspired magic band covers, you want to contact MyFantasyBands.com. When fabric covers are bulky and rubber charms pop off, you can count on these gorgeous matte-finished decals. Free shipping is always included. Check out MyFantasyBands.com and type in DP Podcast 15 at checkout for a 15% discount. Our thanks to the sponsor of this episode, MyFantasyBands.com. And this week will be our last contest. If you want to win a My Fantasy Band this week, you will automatically be entered if you're already a newsletter subscriber. If you go ahead and sign up this week before September 13th to get the newsletter in your inbox, you will also be entered to win a My Fantasy Band. So we're going to pick our winner at random and notify you by email. So make sure you're subscribed to the newsletter and get entered to win your choice of several MyFantasyBands.com. And we'll, you know, be doing that. So that'll be fun.
Okay, this next news story completely blew up the internet, I think, when Disney made this announcement. Disney announced changes to the World Showcase Entertainment at Epcot. So beginning this fall, they'll be refreshing the entire entertainment lineup in World Showcase. So we are saying goodbye to Moroccan, Off Kilter, Spirit of America Fife and Drum Corps, and the World Showcase Players. They're all going away in the next few weeks. They are then bringing in what they are calling some traditional Berber music and dance troupes in Morocco, a corps of dynamic flag-waving performers in Italy. I have no idea what that has to do with Italy. A thrilling lumberjack-inspired show in Canada. A Celtic folk music ensemble at the United Kingdom. And then more. And I'm confused. You're swapping out fairly long-term people that everybody likes for stuff that doesn't sound all that thrilling. I'm not sure where they're going with all this. I'd really be interested to know what everybody else thinks, because I think Disney really needs to understand. Sometimes change is good. I am all for change if it is going to give us a better entertainment value. If all of these things are going to be better, then fine. I am for that. If this is about cutting a dollar, then I'm really not into that. And I will tell you right now, I will get rid of my annual pass if they ever get rid of the Dapper Dans and the marching band in the Magic Kingdom. That will be the end for me. I will be done, because I think those are two things that have been there almost from day one in Disneyland. And they're now over here in Walt Disney World. And I don't think those two things should change. For whatever that costs Disney, well, that's too bad. But I think those two things need to stay. And I'd love to hear what everybody else has to think. Krista, what do you think?
Oh, I have to agree. I hopefully they realize those are two things that they don't ever need to change. So I'm hoping they don't. And I don't know. They feel the need to refresh the entertainment at Epcot, which worries me a little bit too. But we'll just have to wait and see what the future holds. I don't like knocking things until they come about, because we've been wrong before about things. So it'll be interesting to see. I just really hope they keep the guise of British Invasion. I made a little graphic earlier this week for everybody go and write on the British Invasion Facebook page and just let them know that we love them and we support them. They aren't officially on the chopping block, but still, it's got to be tough seeing all your coworkers, you know, say goodbye. So, you know, I'm sure they can use lots of encouragement. So,
yeah, if somebody can, this is what I know about the entertainment at Walt Disney World. The entertainment, these guys are part of, I believe, a musical union. And they are contractors to Disney. They are not actually Disney employees, as far as I know. And they're paid a little bit differently through their music union. And maybe these things became too expensive because of their terms with Disney. Probably, you know, the longer they were there, they got paid more. And now it's gotten to the point where Disney believes that maybe they're being paid too much for something they've been paid less to do. That's what I'm thinking. So if anybody knows more about how that works, the entertainment in Disney World, give us a call, shoot us an email, and maybe we can have you on and you can talk about it.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yep.
All right. So in Tokyo Disneyland, the Frozen Fun is continuing with a new special event called Anna and Elsa's Frozen Fantasy. Now, this is going to run January 13th through March 20th of next year at Tokyo Disneyland. And it's actually going to be themed to Frozen, of course, and offer opportunities to experience the world of ice and snow created by Elsa's magical power. Now, during the event, the nighttime entertainment, which is called Once Upon a Time, we've been talking about that a lot. That's going to be presented in a special version that features new scenes based on Disney's Frozen. And during the day, Anna and Elsa will make appearances and greet guests along the parade route to the music of Let It Go, the theme song from the film. And this special winter event will be presented only at Tokyo Disneyland Park. And, you know, they've said that it's over on March 20th. So that's kind of soon. We better get to planning our trip to Tokyo so we can check this out.
I will bet you our trip to Tokyo that this goes on way past March.
Yeah.
It could be like the same thing here. Once they get the fans hooked on it, they're not going to yank the carpet out from underneath them. This thing will go on till March of 2016. You know? I don't think it's going to go on.
I'm with you. I hope it stays. Yeah. Stays and stays.
Yeah. I don't think ours is going to go away. You know? I
really, yeah, me either. It's not showing any signs of slowing down, that's for sure. No, so, no.
The money machine keeps on burning, baby. Burn, baby, burn. Okay, over in Disneyland, California, we have news from Randy at faithinthemagic.com. And Randy says, have you ever checked out the new Disneyland.com for your mobile phone? Now, this is not a app. This is just something they've added to the browser. Any mobile phone, if you go to Disneyland.com. This all new mobile experience puts your entire Disneyland resort experience right in the palm of your hands. Features like dining reservations, attraction information, and Randy's favorite new feature is the Disney e-ticket, where you can even prepay for your parking. That's right, those guys have to pay for parking. A lot more than we do, unfortunately. So this complete planning tool is accessible through your mobile device web browser. There's no apps to download. And it's also good at Disneyland, California. Oh. Also at Disneyland, California, Legends of the Frontier have been extended at Disneyland Park. Originally, they were scheduled to ride off into the sunset on September 1st. This guest favorite will now be around a little bit longer. So if you haven't chosen sides in the struggle of the frontier, now's the time to do that. So go check out this Disneyland.com because it is it's almost like My Disney Experience, but their version of My Disney Experience without something to download. So I kind of like that. It doesn't take up a footprint on my phone.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah.
And the Legends of the Frontierland experiences has been really popular. Obviously, they're extending that in the Adventureland area. Everybody's really enjoying getting those little treasures. They get these little things for the different things that they accomplish throughout Frontierland. So kind of cool that they're extending it. That's good news. Next up, we have news from Paris. Remember, you can follow our correspondent Laura at That Disney Lover on Twitter. And she shares with us this week that she loves the pretzel stand in Fantasyland near the Pinocchio ride and near the carousel. It serves the best pretzels and also more snack items to keep you going throughout your trip without having to get into the long queues at the restaurants. Also, you can pick up some chips and chocolate bars in some of the boutiques, and make sure to keep an eye out for the stalls around the park selling various candies and treats. So good stuff at Disneyland Paris. Check out the pretzel cart. That sounds fun.
Hey, Laura, you'll have to let us know, do they sell any of the stuffed pretzels in Paris? You know, we have pretzel stuffed with cream cheese and other things here. And so let us know if the pretzels and stuff there in Paris. I'd be interested. I hear the cream cheese stuffed one is fantastic. I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
I've been hearing about that cream cheese pretzel too.
Yeah.
Sounds like we need to go check it out.
Should be. Right.
And now, the Disney Parks Podcast Infotainment segment.
We can talk about some of the best places to have breakfast anywhere at Walt Disney World or even Disneyland, now that you've been there, Krista.
Yeah.
So breakfast is brain food, you know. It's the first good meal of the day, first thing to get you going, get your gears grinding. Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's important.
Yep. I will say breakfast is not my favorite meal of the day, with that being said, but there are some good places to have breakfast on property.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to talk about some of these fun places. So I haven't been able to try a whole lot, but I can tell you that Carnation Cafe at Disneyland is wonderful, because we did go there and I got the Eggs Benedict, and it was lovely. So honorable mention for the Carnation Cafe. Do you have a favorite place in Disneyland for breakfast?
I really didn't hit any place. I just grabbed something quick, typically. I did have breakfast at the Disneyland Hotel. We had a sit-down breakfast, and I had, you know, pancakes and, you know, coffee and stuff like that. And that was delicious. The pancakes were good, so. But like I said, I'm not a huge breakfast person.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not a fan of eggs. So I usually have something like pancakes or cereal. And I can get that really anywhere.
Yeah. So I think it's safe to say the rest of these are at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
That we'll be talking about.
Yeah, most of the rest of mine are at Walt Disney World.
Okay.
Although a corn dog is good for breakfast if you're at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. All your food groups in there, so.
It's like a protein, carbs. It's like a corn muffin on a stick.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
with some hot dog. You know. Can be good.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we going to start, Krista?
Well, I'll start with Whispering Canyon Cafe. If you'll recall, this one is located over at the Wilderness Lodge. It's full service, so you can get traditional breakfast food with the Western flair. It's they have great stuff like house-made banana bread, French toast with bananas Foster's sauce. And there's also my favorite thing, the All You Care to Enjoy breakfast platter. That has everything. You get scrambled eggs, waffles, sausage, bacon, home fries, biscuits, and sausage gravy. All the most wonderful breakfast things, all in one platter. And if you don't want to go that heavy, of course, they've got your, you know, grits, fresh fruit, yogurt, all that good stuff. So I love Whispering Cafe because Whispering Canyon Cafe, they have a wonderful variety at breakfast, and you won't leave hungry, that's for sure.
And you get a little entertainment with your breakfast, too.
Absolutely. Yep, always. Yep.
I'm going to start actually downtown Disney over at the Earl of Sandwich. They serve breakfast in the morning, and not a lot of people know that. So if you are heading to downtown Disney and you want to grab something, they have some breakfast sandwiches and things that you can grab there, and coffee. And now that there's Starbucks also in that area, you can have Starbucks and Earl of Sandwich. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Can't beat that.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. The next one I picked is kind of off the beaten path. Again, Trails End, actually. The campsite's at Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort. They've got a buffet over there at Trails End. So if you're looking for like a rustic setting and a really filling breakfast, this is perfect for you. There's, you know, it kind of looks like a hunting lodge in there. So there's animal heads on the walls. So just beware of that. but if you like eggs, breakfast meat, biscuits and gravy, you know, they've got all that stuff. But then there's also the fruit, the oatmeal and the cinnamon spiced apples. They have Mickey waffles at Trails End for breakfast, too. Don't forget about that. So this is a good one. They even include the coffee and tea in the buffet price. It's pretty affordable. I don't know how much it's running right now, but it's a good price on breakfast and you get a lot. So,
yeah, it's a pretty good price. My other favorite place now is any of the Starbucks, because I can grab a bagel or a muffin or cake pop or something and a cup of coffee. So, you know, there's Starbucks all over the place now. There's Magic Kingdom, there's Downtown Disney, there's Epcot, and we'll soon have one in the studios. And I'm sure there'll one be coming soon to the Animal Kingdom with all the rehab going on over there. So,
yeah.
If you just want something quick, you know, so that you can... you know, get on those attractions, you know, try Starbucks. Be warned, though, if you do grab your Starbucks and you don't finish it and you try to get on something like Space Mountain, they are going to tell you to, you know, get rid of your coffee, because hot coffee on a moving attraction is probably not very good for the guests behind you.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't want you sitting in front of me with hot coffee.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome having that Starbucks option, though. They're just, they've got a lot of good stuff in there for breakfast, for sure.
Yep.
Another one of my favorites is Tusker House. Tony, you have a good friend that works at Tusker House, right?
I do.
You do.
I do.
And so we love this one because it's, you know, it's a character buffet. They've got it over at Animal Kingdom in Africa. And, you get to see Mickey, Minnie, Daisy, and Goofy. And then you can also get Jungle Juice there, which we've talked about before. It's kind of a fruity beverage that you can't really get anywhere besides Animal Kingdom. So that's cool. And the Jungle Juice is included in your price of your buffet. So they've got all kinds of the hot foods, the cold foods, you know, your breakfast meats. A little bit different here is you can get frittatas. They have quiche here too, and then they also have a special like African porridge that you can try here that you can't get anywhere else. And then of course there's your healthy options too, with your fruit and cereal and yogurt. And sometimes if you're lucky, you can get a reservation before the park opens, and then you get to see Animal Kingdom when there's not a lot of people inside of it, really early in the morning. So I love Tusker House. Have you done Tusker House before, Tony?
Not for breakfast.
Not for breakfast.
No.
Okay.
I did it for lunch, I believe. Yeah. I don't get to the Animal Kingdom often. just annually.
Right,
and
right.
And it's not that time of the year yet.
No, it's not. Oh, not right now.
Next place on my list, if you're heading to Epcot, head over to France. Obviously, there's nothing bad in France. They have lots of good different pastries to snack on for your breakfast. They also have good coffees and cappuccinos and mochas and espressos. And it's the only place in World Showcase that's open for breakfast. So, especially with Food and Wine coming up, get over to France early in the morning, have your breakfast, and boom, you'll be right there, ready to go when they drop the rope, and you hit Food and Wine with a good hot cup of coffee and some breakfast in your belly. So, now...
Absolutely.
I always say, hey, if you can get there, go through International Gateway. You know, if you're staying in one of the Epcot resorts right there, yacht, beach, boardwalk. If not, come in the main way, get your Starbucks, and then you can head over there to France and get some awesome pastries for breakfast. So then you get a little bit of your Starbucks fix and your pastry fix. So.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because no matter which way you come into the park now, you can walk by a breakfast place, so that's exactly. good. That's exactly. awesome. We got to give honorable mention to Starring Roles, too. They have good stuff over there, but for my main choice next, I wanted to talk about the Grand Floridian Cafe. This is the fancy place, you know, that I really love, and but of course you can dress casual, all that good stuff. They have vanilla lace French toast, which I haven't tried yet. The other thing that's awesome is the lobster eggs Benedict. I don't know if there's a whole lot of places on Disney World property where you can get lobster eggs Benedict, but this is one of them. And they also have citrus pancakes and frittatas, and you know, and then there's also your usual eggs, bacon, and all that kind of stuff as well. There's also pressed pot coffee is what they're still serving in there, I think. That's the brand. That's good stuff. And they also have cappuccinos and lattes at the Grand Floridian Cafe for breakfast. So if you haven't tried it yet, that's a great one, especially if you're staying at the Grand Floridian. How convenient. Can't beat that. So
sure. I have two places for kind of my number one. It's kind of a tie for me. Kona Cafe and Chef Mickey's. Kona Cafe right now is a construction zone, probably. But if it's not a construction zone, obviously the world-famous Tonga Toast is there. That's usually what everybody goes there for. If you're not going there for Tonga Toast, they have awesome blueberry pancakes, the macadamia and pineapple pancakes, and then they have regular pancakes. I know some other people rave about some other things on the menu, but those are probably my favorite things, is the either the Tonga Toast or the blueberry pancake. You can get Kona French press coffee there, too, like Chris was just saying. Mm-hmm. So it's made for two, but if you're a coffee consumer, then you just order it for yourself and tell the second person to order their own. Because I can definitely drink a whole pot by myself. I used to drink a whole pot of coffee, you know, back in the day. So I would have no problem going through a press pot. and their Kona coffee is very, I like it. It's not your Jeffrey's coffee. We'll say that. And then Chef Mickey's is obviously a character breakfast. You get Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Pluto. And you get Mickey waffles and all that, you know, all the normal breakfast buffet stuff. There's really nothing food-wise that's really special. It's just in the grand concourse of the Contemporary. You know, so you can see the monorail, you can see the characters. And, you know, as soon as you're done, you can hit the monorail and you're mm-hmm. off to the, you know, Epcot or Magic Kingdom in minutes. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a really good perk.
Yeah. That breakfast is a little pricey at Chef Mickey's. I think it's a little bit more than some of the other places. So just check the price. You know, make sure it's not too crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely on the dining plan. I don't know how many credits it is now, but...
Yeah, it may be two still. I think it was two for a while, because it's characters too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Just check it out.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Absolutely, for your classic Disney experience, for sure. And so, I also wanted to mention another one that most people don't really think about, the BOMA, Flavors of Africa at Animal Kingdom Lodge. That's a buffet breakfast. And it's really cool because you actually feel like you're in an African marketplace. And everybody knows about the wonderful dinners they have. But also for breakfast, they have 45 items on the buffet. So there's bound to be something for everyone. They've got the fruit and the pastries, the cereals, and then there's the hot stuff, waffles, pancakes, breakfast pizzas. They've got really good breakfast pizza there. And lots of other dishes. You can buy the pressed Kenyan coffee. It's a little extra, but people really like it. They say it's worth it. And, you know, you can also do the West African French, which I don't think I've tried that yet. Or punch. It's like a punch. And that's lemonade combined with orange, pineapple, and papaya and guava juices. So that sounds neat, too. I gotta go back and try that. I don't remember seeing that on the menu. But Boma, if you haven't been for breakfast, definitely check it out. It's great for lunch and dinner, too. I love it.
Yeah, I've not been to Boma for breakfast.
Yeah, you gotta check it out someday when you're up early and ready for breakfast.
Oh, and I happen to be heading to the Animal Kingdom. That's like the trifecta of it'll never happen.
Things will be flying overhead.
Up early, going to a place for breakfast, and it's in the Animal Kingdom. Wow, let me think. When would that ever happen? Wow.
Safe to say you won't be trying Boma for breakfast anytime soon.
No. Unless, of course, there was some kind of special event, you know, then I would be going there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, it's good stuff. And, you know, we can't let the list go without mentioning Crystal Palace and Ohana. Obviously, everybody knows about those for breakfast. Did you have any other honorable mentions, Tony? No,
that's it for me.
That's it. Okay. All right. Well, with that, I guess we'll wrap up the show. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We appreciate it. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees.